Coming up, just a few minutes. Christian Carlson's going to join us. Congressman Peter Roskam coming up at 5:40. Talk about the... He's upset because he's one of the drafters of this tax reform bill that passed the House. And he doesn't like the way it's being represented in the public.
No, and I think when he also took offense when senior leaders within the Democratic Party said, hey, take a look at these. You should include all this. And then he said, well, how about show up for the meetings?
So
we can discuss.
Yeah, so that's great. So anyway, well, he'll be here to discuss that. And then Adam Hoge, our Bears insider as well, coming in at 6 o'clock hour.
Does it still stink over at Soldier Field? Have they cleared that out?
Yes, it does. It does still stink at Soldier Field. Or no, at Hallis Hall. But for different reasons. It's because somebody didn't clean up the sushi. That is not code. That really did happen. All right. Gretchen Carlson is joining us. And thank you so much. I know this is a really busy day for you. Gretchen Carlson, of course, was at the Fox News Channel for many years at CBS and the Fox News Channel. And then I use this term, Gretchen, like the patient zero of this particular moment here in terms of starting a wave of women coming forward to put their name and their face out to say, this is what happened to me. And it started with your allegations about the environment and specifically Roger Ailes at the Fox News Channel. And now today, here we are, Matt Lauer at NBC. And one of the things that we heard from your, and I know you talked to a lot of women in writing your book about this. It was like an open secret at NBC about Matt Lauer. But they said that about the Fox News Channel, too. What does that mean to you?
Oh, gosh. Well, thanks for having me back. And yes, so excited for people to know about Be Fierce, my book that's been out now for about 5 or 6 weeks, because it's such an important guide to helping people if they happen to be going through this, or if they just want inspiration in general about being able to speak up about anything. But look at what we're seeing happen with so many more people having the courage to speak up. I think the way I would analyze this is that companies have a lot of cover-up artists at work. And I think a lot of companies across America right now are doing a lot of introspection about the way in which they've decided to do business. And I think we're going to see a huge change within corporate culture as companies start to worry about others being exposed. And it's not just going to be, you know, famous rich people. This is happening all across America in all different walks of life and all different professions. So I really think it's a call to action for companies to wake up and realize that they can't just cover up rumors and behavior until it gets exposed, because now everything's getting exposed.
You know, you've been an advocate of that, and talking about the secrecy that has surrounded so many of these allegations, and also the path that didn't seem to exist for women to come forward where they felt like it would actually lead to any sort of accountability. And I think you actually felt this that retribution would be a more likely outcome than accountability. And I know you're introducing legislation or helping to try to help with that.
Yeah, so what I'm working diligently on Capitol Hill about is trying to take the secrecy out of arbitration clauses that 60 million Americans have in their employment contracts right now, and many don't even know they have these clauses. And basically what that does is it takes away your Seventh Amendment right to an open jury process if you get into a dispute. This was never intended to be a way to solve sexual harassment cases or discrimination in the workplace. And what it does is it puts it into secrecy. So nobody ever knows that you filed a claim. And that's what's been happening now for the last couple of decades. So I'm working really, really hard to get a bipartisan bill to change that, to take the secrecy out of it. Because what happens when suddenly, you know, it becomes obvious what's going on within a corporation, then other people know it's happening too, and you don't feel so alone. But more importantly, it stops the harassment, I think, from happening when serial harassers know that it's no longer secret, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
I mean, that is like an essential key to changing all of this. And I'm very optimistic in the next couple of weeks that you'll be reporting news on bills that I've been working really hard on.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, though. Is it just going to be specific to harassment, or is it in general that you no longer, if you sign an employment contract, that you no longer are just stuck with a secretive arbitration process?
So here's the thing. It has to be bipartisan or it's not going to work. This issue tends to be one that Democrats are more on board on. And so I've been working behind closed doors with Republicans to try and get them to be on the right side of history on this. And so I'm taking baby steps with this. I don't believe that I can eradicate arbitration clauses completely in this first go around. So the bills that we are looking at right now have to do with harassment and discrimination only. But that's not to say that down the road, that it wouldn't be a broader kind of
Well, I would imagine businesses would be upset about that, especially because they don't want industrial secrets and things like that that have to do with their business as opposed to their, that's one of the reasons that they have arbitration clauses now, so they don't have to go to court and disclose as part of discovery trade practices that they consider to be proprietary.
And I totally agree with that. I mean, that's why there are also confidentiality clauses in most contracts. With regard to business secrets and trade secrets, that's not what we're talking about
okay.
here.
Okay, so you're differentiating that. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Gretchen, let me ask you about, you've been very active on social media over the last, for quite some time, but definitely over the last, since this Matt Lauer allegations came out. And you are one of the faces of this movement, I would say. You called out the president after he mentioned Matt Lauer because you said, really, you can't pick and choose the women you want to believe, look in the mirror. But then I thought it was interesting, you also called out a former colleague of yours, Geraldo Rivera, who was tweeting about how some victims are motivated by more than justice. And you answered that pretty strongly because that's in your experience, it hasn't really been about money for people. They don't work again in a lot of cases, and there really isn't much to gain.
It's just total ignorance. People should really think before they tweet.
That's an idealistic view.
You're really asking for a lot now.
Yeah, I know. But on both of those cases, especially, ignorance is it's everywhere. But listen, women would much rather stay working than sign secret settlements. And the reason that they get paid from zero to whatever in a settlement is unfortunately because the majority never, ever work in their chosen profession ever again after they come forward. So let's, first of all, we got to change that. That's outrageous. Mm-hmm. But before you tweet something as stupid as that, please realize that these women have had the American dream stripped from them, not because of something they did, but because of something somebody did to them. And then if they get any kind of a payment as a result, well, they may never work again. So that payment probably pales in comparison to what their earning power may have been over the course of their life. This is what we must change. We must change the way we approach all of these cases. We must take the secrecy out of them. I mean, listen, women don't want settlements. They just want to work.
Okay. Now, you've written the book, Be Fierce, and you're very public now, and you are, appearing on news outlets and obviously you're here, and thank you very much for doing that. How are you, what kind of reaction are you getting from your, what it would call your Fox base audience, the people that, were Fox and Friends viewers and fans of that network, are they coming along with you, or is this the politics of this moment and the way that our cable news channels are trying to shape their audience's views of the world, impacting your ability to get that message out?
No, because here's the true message. Here are the facts. Sexual harassment is apolitical. And you can't pick and choose what women you want to believe. Just because you're in one particular political party and the allegations are about a candidate that you like, that is just completely disingenuous. And if there's one thing that I think we can come together on, I'm hoping, and that's why I'm working so hard for this bill on Capitol Hill, is on this issue. We have to come to grips with the fact that titans on both sides are falling and have fallen. This is not a Democrat issue or a Republican issue. This is a human dignity issue. And so for me, we have to take politics out of it. And you have to, you're either going to believe women and men who come forward or you're not. You can't pick and choose.
Can politics be taken out of it?
Gosh, I that's my greatest hope. I think it's just unbelievable to see people turn a blind eye to this issue.
Because it does seem to break along these lines, right? You have the president.
No, not always, though.
Well, in a lot of cases, I mean, you have the president today taking great pleasure in Matt Lauer's dismissal, but yet still supporting Roy Moore. Right. I mean, it's sort of there doesn't seem to be equal application of this by individuals based on their politics. If that's what guides you, you know, not everybody in America is guided by a political North Star, right? I mean, some people they understand politics, but they don't live just by what the Republicans or Democrats tell them to do. But I just wonder, right. You know, in this such a incredibly stratified and polarized political environment in which we're living now, if these messages are now just seen through the messenger as opposed to what the message is.
Well, I think that finally members of Congress are going to finally have to face the music on this issue as well, just like people in the private workplace are. We've seen a lot of legislation over the last couple of weeks. For example, now they have mandatory sexual harassment training on the Hill as well. They've never had it up until now. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Really?
I mean, what about the open seat? I mean, I love this. I hate to say what about because I know that's a trick. But the whole thing, and Cokie Roberts yesterday coming out and saying, hey, everybody knew.
We all kind of knew.
Don't get in an elevator with John Conyers. It's like, what?
What?
Well, I mean, it's like a...
and then the secret settlements, the $17 million in sex harassment settlements.
That's crazy.
Taxpayer money.
Of taxpayer dollars. Yeah, listen, I just, you know, back to the political side of it, my hope is that people can try to get out of the divisive nature of where we find ourselves right now and look at this issue for what it is, which is being apolitical. You can't pick and choose if you want to be taken seriously.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Gretchen, thanks for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Gretchen.
Be Fierce is the book. Stop Harassment and Take Your Power Back. And, of course, Gretchen Carlson, probably the person where this movement, at least this iteration of the movement, started really in earnest with your work at Fox News Channel.
Thank you for being so brave.
All right, Gretchen, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, so let us now check with Violetta Pottermedic on the WGN Traffic Trouble Front Spot.